Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
Hello. What's going on?
You know.
How are you guys doing?
Sportsing and whatnot.
How are you guys doing?
Enjoying this fall crisp day. What, we're done?
We're done.
All right.
You want to go home?
No, I don't.
That was good. Normally, like, my friends make fun of me for only working 4 hours, but that is
you
like,
have friends?
That was like 30 seconds. Well, acquaintances. Friends is a strong word.
If you didn't do this show, would you have any friends? Probably not, right? They're only buddies with you because it's like, oh, radio guy. Local radio funny man.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm currently in a battle with one of my close ones, though, over his Yankee fandom. It bothers me.
Oh, Mike?
No, because Mike is actually from that area. He's from Wisconsin. And he's a Packer fan, which I get it. You're behind the cheddar curtain, right? Packers.
Okay.
But you can't be a Packer and a Yankee fan. And he claims that he roots for the Brew Crew. But
why is he a Yankee fan?
Because he likes New York. He likes the city. And he likes excellence. He says he enjoys Green Bay because...
Do I know this person?
No, not really. But it bothers me immensely. And then he just randomly texts me things like, hey, did you see that the Yankees did XYZ and it's another amazing stat or whatever? And so I object to his fandom. I give him the Packers, and I support the Packer fandom, but it bothers me immensely that he's a Yankee fan, and it also bothers me that my dad does this. See, my dad...
Packers.
Because his dad is... Well, I guess he's not from there, but his dad, when he immigrated here, ended up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. So I get it. Packer fan. So he's a diehard Packer fan, but... He spent a little, because he was a military brat, he spent a little bit of time in New York, and so he claims the Yankees as well. You can't have both. You know, and he's a Celtics fan, my dad. And it bothers me immensely.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
And my theory is this, and your dad and your buddy from Wisconsin fall into this category. It is easier to accept sports fandom when it's one team that's kind of a strange connection, but it's like, okay.
Sure.
But have you ever noticed...
Like for me with the Broncos, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not. And here's the other thing.
Right.
If you were a Cowboy or a Steeler fan, that's worse. But Denver's a good franchise, but it's not like you're grabbing onto the Yankees or Duke basketball or, you know, whatever, like the crown jewel of everything.
That's my point. Is that, isn't it funny how these people that happen to be, they have one good case to be a fan of one big time team like the Yankees or the Packers.
Yes.
But isn't it funny how those people are always fans of every other great team? And it's like, wait, I get your connection to Green Bay. You can't also be a Yankee fan and a Laker fan and a Cowboy fan, because that guy is inevitably all of those.
Yes.
And that's not okay.
See, and
we
least,
see through that. We're not dumb.
At least my buddy, he loves the Bucks. So at least there's that, right? It's he loves Wisconsin.
Basically, if you're a Yankees.
The outlier of the Yankee thing, and he readily admits when I ask him, he just goes, they're the best. Why wouldn't I root for the best? Why wouldn't I appreciate excellence?
He's just admitting he's a front runner right there. That's all he is.
I can't get
You're a front runner, and that's not a real fan. Yankees, Lakers, like Comic Ryan text, the Better You Today text line, and he says Yankees, Lakers is the worst combo. And it is, because, listen, if you are a Yankee and a Laker fan, you have lost all credibility. Like, that's not a combo that should happen. The only reason that combo happens, unless you have, like our old sales manager, Ryan Cooley, grew up in, I think he was born in New York and grew up in LA.
Yeah.
Like, he does have ties to both. and he is a Giants fan of the football variety. And then he was a...
He was a Yankees fan, obviously.
Yankees fan, but then he was a... Wasn't he...
Was there a San Francisco connection
there? Was
there
a Dodgers? Well, no, LA. He's from LA.
I don't...
I thought it was a Dodger. Maybe he was all New York. Yankees fan. See, yeah. He's the great example. He's all New York. He could have easily said, oh, Lakers, I'm from LA. I spent a lot of time in LA after growing up in New York. The Yankees-Lakers fan sells yourself out because we see what you're doing. You're just taking the biggest, best brands.
See, and the thing
you
is,
can't do that.
I can't really argue with my buddy because he owns it. Like, he just shrugs it off and is like, yeah, they're the best. And then there's no, like, there's
well,
just
that's
no,
fine.
Yeah, there's just no shame. Now, my dad, on the other hand, my dad's the worst offender because he goes Packers, Yankees, Celtics.
I told you.
It's ridiculous.
It's all straight out of a, like,
yeah.
Like, I'm sure he's probably got an affinity for the Cowboys suddenly, or you know, especially if they make the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
It's just ridiculous.
It's just a front-running mentality.
You don't get Green Bay, New York, and Boston.
Yeah, so like this guy says, I have a buddy who's Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys, Alabama.
No.
Dude, you're not a sports fan.
No.
You're not a sports fan.
Get right the
By
hell
the way,
out of town.
That says all we need to know about you. You've got issues.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of those four teams.
And why don't you just
because it doesn't work like that.
Why don't you just go Duke while you're at it? Just throw Duke basketball in there.
It also makes me think you're not a true fan. Like, you're not really connecting. Like, you can say you're a fan, your buddy, for example. Let's go back to that schmuck. He can say he's a fan of the Yankees. Now, I feel like he's really connected to the Packers.
Yes.
But he can say he's a fan of the Yankees, but we all know he's not truly.
No.
Like, I'm a fan.
The connection to the Yankees is not nearly the connection to the Packers.
I don't know if you feel this way. But I am only a true, passionate, sort of irrational fan about two teams, the Kansas City Royals mm-hmm. and the Kansas Jayhawks. Okay. I am a fan of, like, say, the Padres. I've kind of gotten into them. We spend mm-hmm. a lot of time in San Diego. I'm a fan of them, but I'm not connected to them like I am my childhood connections. And so when I hear somebody say they're a fan of something, and maybe I just have too high of a standard, I believe it has to be those childhood, those deep connections for you to be a true fan.
Sure.
You can say you're a fan or root for a team. That's fine. But I mean, are you really a fan? And that's where you get into, like, just like throwing things when they lose, or, you know, like swan diving off a bridge, or, you know,
yeah.
Like it's like you live and die with it. Like, it's really gets you going.
Yeah.
And both positive and negative. That's being a true fan. And when you're a fan of the Lakers and Yankees and Green Bay, that's not being a fan. That's just you want sports to make you feel good, and so you say you're a fan of those teams, and those teams will pretty much always make you feel good.
Sure.
Because they're always good.
Yeah.
I mean, Lakers not always, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
Generally speaking.
They tend to be...
So are you with me on any of that? Or
less
am I,
heartbreaky.
Am I wrong on that?
No.
Am I out on a limb on that?
I don't think you're out on a limb. I think you're making a lot of rational sense. And it bothers me a lot less when someone's a random fan of, like, the Kansas City Royals, or if you're a random fan of the Utah Jazz. By all means, jump on whatever bandwagon you want. Just don't hitch. This is what I tell them all the time. The Yankees don't need your fandom. Be a Mets fan if you like New York. Same thing with Mike. Mike, stop being a Yankees fan. They don't need you. Be a Mets fan. The Mets need fans.
Whoa. Why are you turning that on me? I was born and raised a Yankees fan. I'm not switching to the Mets.
Yeah, you can't really call Mike out on the Yankees thing. Even though we want to, he's a true fan of the Yanks. But I feel like one good way to test this is if you are a true fan, like I'm talking about, like deep in the loins, diehard fan,
yeah.
You'll know history. You'll know about the franchise and things that happened in years that maybe weren't great, or moments that really resonated with you. And so you can really test people on their fandom, and 9 times out of 10, they'll fail.
Sure.
Especially the Yankees and the Cowboys and the Lakers, because they're all bandwagoners. Yeah.
Although,
right?
I'll tell you what, if you go back to the East Coast and you, like, the Yankee fan back then or back there, that's a, that's a different kind of connection.
Well, like, I mean, so you guys were looking at me yesterday watching the game, and the Yankees were up 2-0. And I was going crazy when the Yankees got
Mike's
out of the jam.
Legit.
And you were looking at me like, you're going to win the game. Yeah, shut up. Yeah. And I was like, I care. I want them to play
Mike
well. What do you want from
Mike
me?
Mike is 100% legit. Now, I honestly can tell you, by your definition, I'm not a fan of anyone.
I've always thought that about you.
I used to be that.
No offense.
I used to be that way about the Wings. And
they've beaten it out of you.
They have. Well, I've told the story when they lost years and years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost in Game 7 against Pittsburgh, and it would have been back-to-back. And I had a bit of a moment, you know? And I remember my wife at the time, I was watching it, my kids were there watching it with me.
Oh, man.
And my wife was like, hey, let's just leave Dad alone. And I remember like the look on everyone's face getting up. And that kind of, that was a moment for me where I was like, really? Like, this is what I'm doing over this?
Well, there's no shame in that.
And since then.
I mean, there kind of is, but you know, that's normal.
It was bad. It was not my proudest moment.
Well, we've all had those moments.
And since then, one, the Wings haven't been that good. The Mets haven't been that good in you know, consistently in my adult life. But both of those were childhood fandoms, and that's the closest thing I can come to that. But ruining my day, I've become, and I readily admit it, I've become a very casual fan of different teams, and it's wonderful. I love it. The last handful of years since I fully adopted just kind of the let's just kind of watch and enjoy, and you kind of grab a team here or there and pull for them. It's become a much, much more enjoyable fandom experience for me.
That's what Green Bay Yankees Lakers guy's doing. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Because he's not truly dedicated to those teams.
It's true, but at the same time, I won't just randomly glom on to, like, good teams.
You have standards.
Yes.
You're going to glom on to the average maybe has a chance team.
The A's, I'm not just going to be like, hey, all of a sudden I'm pulling for the Yankees. Hell no, I'm not pulling for the Yankees. That's not going to happen. I'm not rooting for LeBron James. And actually, I rooted for him. He was in Cleveland to shit everyone up. But stuff like that, like when you go into the...
Shut.
When you go into the postseason, it's kind of fun to just gravitate to a team that kind of pulls you in. And I know that I'll never get the highs of the diehard fan.
Let's be great, baby. Let's be great.
I don't get the back-breaking lows.
Yeah, if you did have that true in the loins fandom, you can't just stop it.
No.
You really can't. It's just there.
Well, I will tell you.
Mine was dormant for 30 years with my baseball team, and it came back. I didn't know if it would. I was scared.
I'll tell you that the Mets still bother me.
The emotions came back quickly.
The Mets can get under my skin quite easily. And the Red Wings, not so much.
Your hatred for Justin Turner is just delightful.
Yeah, he really bothers me because, well, we had him, and he did jack squat. And then he grew that stupid beard and went to L.A. See, like the... That's probably still the team that gets under my skin more than any other is the Mets. The Wings have been so bad for a number of years now. It's more like, it'll be all right.
Do you think baseball has the highest amount of like deep dug in fandom because of the length of the season and every single game, every single day? Do you think there are more fans who care more about their baseball team than their other teams?
I think it's the deepest fan base, but I think that's only because it's been more important for longer.
Sure.
I think the NFL is certainly a wider fan base now, but I think baseball goes deeper.
Because the three of us just mentioned our main teams are all baseball teams that we care about the most.
But baseball goes, I mean, you're talking all the way back to the olden days,
people
40s
ask,
and 50s even, where it was huge and it was just a big part of the culture. Whereas NFL, I think, football is just at, it's just... taken over.
Yeah.
But that's more recent than baseball.
Yeah, if you go 30 years down the road, those NFL fans, those roots will be really strong. But like people ask all the time, like how you got it. When you're in the Pacific Northwest, there weren't a lot of teams. And this was back when like the Mariners weren't on TV. When I was growing up, you had three teams you could watch. You had the Cubs and you had the Braves because of TBS and WGN. And then we got the station out of New York and they had the Mets. And the Mets were good. Like in the early 80s, I was like 6, 7, 8 years old. The Mets were great with Gooden and Strawberry and Hernandez and Gary Carter. And my dad was a huge Yankee fan. And of course, you know, it's kind of fun to piss off. You either go one of two ways, right? You either end up rooting for your dad's team or you kind of stick it in the old man's face and be like, oh, you're a Yankee fan. Go Mets. And so me and my brother were Mets fans. Now, my brother eventually switched over to the Mariners from the local angle. And it never grabbed me like it did him. I like the Mariners, local team. Same thing with Portland, the Blazers. You root for them, but for whatever reason, those didn't take hold the way that the Wings did for me and the Mets when I was a kid.
All right, well, stop being bandwagon fans out there.
I don't mind you being a bandwagon fan. Just don't be a bandwagon for the best team. The Yankees don't need your fandom. The Rays need your fandom.
Yes,
right?
But they're selfish. They're selfish.
Root for that.
If you want to be a fan of the Yankees, be a fan of the Yankees. It's okay.
No, root for the Nationals. I can't. I mean, I hate the Nationals, but
come join us. It's
better
fun.
To root for them than the Dodgers or the Yankees. They don't need your fandom, especially stupid Justin Turner.
All right, it's very busy in sports right now. It really is.
Yes,
especially us because we have no show Friday.
Now we got to cram it all in.
So guess what?
Are you going to solve the NBA China problem in the next 12 minutes?
No, but I have an announcement to make.
Is it about the Chinese?
No.
Hong Kong?
No.
Jump into it. Israeli-Palestine. What are you going to do?
Joey Harrington's coming in studio today!
Maybe he can solve those issues.
Now, he's normally on Fridays, but we have no show Friday, so Joey will be in 5:30 to 6. We'll talk Oregon Duck football. Now, for those of you that are just so upset about the 0-5 Ducks...
I don't think they're 0-5.
Oh, wait, they're 4-1. But you would think, listening to some fans, that they're 1-4.
Oh, yeah.
Because their offense isn't scoring 55 like it used to.
People get very angry.
We're going to talk about this with Joey because there are points on both sides. I mean, the offense should be better, right? I mean, it should be. You were pointing that out yesterday. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they keep winning games like this. You know, so what? They won the game.
Yeah. I just would make the argument that your offense
won't be able to win
these games if this is the way your offense is going
to
play.
That's fair. So we'll see what Joey has to say about all of that. At 5:30, we have our Jamboree at 4. I saw a delightful piece on, we talked about this yesterday. There's the meme of the KU fan crocheting before the Oklahoma game.
It's just the most Kansas football thing ever.
Did you see the piece done by, I think she's a USA Today college football writer.
Did she talk to this lady?
Yes.
Ooh.
And it's fantastic.
No, I haven't seen this yet.
That will be part of the Jamboree. We will also get into the Red River rivalry.
Yeah, that red leather, yellow leather, the human torch was
denied a bank loan.
The Red River
rivalry.
It gets you every time.
So that's college football at 4. What else do we have? We have, as you mentioned, international sports incidents.
Blazers.
Zers are underway.
And
the A's are moving to Vegas. I mean, God.
Now, that was depressing. Where the hell did Vegas come from? What happened to us?
Well, that's an easy explanation.
What happened to our A's?
But we'll get to all of that, starting first with baseball talk. 317 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Jamboree college football 40 minutes from now. Also, the Blazers get underway tonight at some point on today's show, Coliseum Trivia. We've got a lot to tackle. And I do want to tell you why the A's to Vegas came up today, and we'll get to that at the end of this segment. But a few baseball things. Actually, it doesn't even have to be baseball. It's sports things from last night, because a couple of texters reminded us about the Niners' domination last night.
Yeah, that was an old-fashioned ass-kicking, and that was great to see. I don't know if I completely am sold yet on the Niners. Same thing. They just haven't played anyone, but neither really have the Patriots. So I just think at this point in the season,
they look awful good.
You can't control the schedule, but you've beaten bad teams, but you've alley whipped bad teams. The 5 turnovers against Pittsburgh is a bit concerning, but we'll see. They play the Rams. You beat the Rams. I think that they're after the Rams. Like, they play a patsy, and then there is another, I think the Panthers, they play them. So we'll find out here in a couple weeks. But yes, the 49ers are better than I thought they were. But again, don't take an ass kicking of a very average Cleveland Browns team and then somehow anoint the 49ers and say that they're because they're undefeated. I'd put the Niners, if I'm doing power rankings, I'd put them somewhere between 5 and 7. I still don't think they're better than the Patriots. I don't think they're better than the Chiefs. I think the Eagles have a better roster than they do. But yeah, that was a very, very impressive win last night. And it was a fun win to watch Baker Mayfield and the hype machine that is the Cleveland Browns get a dose of humble pie. Humble pie.
Humble pie, baby. Humble pie. Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. Yeah, that's how they're 4-0. But yeah, I think their defense, I mean, just personnel wise, it's like, oh boy, we may have been sleeping on them a little bit. Yeah. They have that swagger too. Like they're, and if Garoppolo stays healthy, they're legit, I think. But well, you're right, we'll see. At Los Angeles, then they're at Washington, then they host Carolina, and then they're at Arizona.
I'm not sold on the offense. The defense is legit at all three levels. That is a very good defense. And
you know, they have a real chance to be 10-0.
Yeah, they don't have
really do.
They don't have a very tough schedule at all.
Win at Los Angeles, you have a real chance to be 10-0.
Yeah.
And which is crazy.
And I think that goes a long way because I know the Rams still have problems, but I mean, the Rams are a legitimate team. And you take that, you grab a hold of that division. I also think they're going to fare well in that because the Rams have had a hard time with their offensive line. And I'm telling you, that Niners front, I can question their long-term viability. I can question the offense. You cannot question that front seven. It is legit. You look at some of the advanced analytics, and they are putting more pressure than any team, and not just sacks. I'm talking about pressures and kind of that havoc stat than any team right now in the NFL. And you play a shaky line, see the Cleveland Browns.
Titans.
The Browns didn't have a chance.
The Niners would beat the
lived in the backfield.
The Niners would beat the Titans 800-2.
The Titans wouldn't score. Maybe a field
goal. 800-0. I effing hate the Titans.
Yeah.
I hate them. They are so maddening. They're horrible. Mike Vrabel sucks. He's an idiot. And they're mind numbing. But anyway, who cares?
And then Seattle.
Why am I talking about
that? The Seattle and Niner game, that's not for like another month. I mean,
week 10.
Yeah, we got to wait a while.
Monday
to
night,
get to that.
Right here on the Fan.
Yeah. And that is going to be a bit of a doozy
it.
There.
Hey, I love
it. Is that in Seattle or is that in San Francisco?
That game is in Seattle.
Okay. That's going to be.
And then the last game of the That game is in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
And then the last game of the year is in Seattle.
Dude, I want to fast forward to that. Give me that one because I think both Seattle and San Francisco are really good teams. I'm not sure which one's the best in the division right now.
Seattle.
But that's going to be, if things keep going this way and there's a trajectory and both teams continue to play this way, that's going to be one of the games of the year.
The division's great.
Yes.
Let's be great, baby. Let's be great. Let's be great.
It's being great.
Be great. Yes, because the Rams aren't going to go anywhere either. The Cardinals
And
stink.
The Cardinals.
No.
Well, the
The Cardinals aren't any good. They're maybe not as bad as some people thought they were going to be, but do not.
Well, they're not as bad as like Bengals.
Do not start with the Cardinals aren't that bad. Yes, they are.
All right. Well, anyway.
And Bosa, by the way, that is a legit pick. That guy's a machine.
Well, they got a ton of guys on defense like that.
Yes, they do. But he is in a. And
well,
again,
not like him, but.
We'll see if he stays healthy because he's never been able to stay healthy. But
that defense is loaded.
Dude, that guy's getting double teamed. He's getting cut. He's getting knocked down and he keeps coming. He's like the damn Terminator.
And he's very goofy.
Yeah.
I find him odd. Well, he's an odd one.
The planting of the flag I thought was quite fun too.
That was great.
That game meant something. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Richard Sherman's full of it.
Whatever. Richard Sherman's full of hot air.
Well, he shook his hand. Why would you lie about something when you know that there were 1,000 cameras on and we can clearly see that he
walked
shook your hand?
He walked it back. He walked it back and said, well, it's the way he did it.
He said he didn't shake his hand. You can't.
No, he changed it. Once everybody showed in the video, he was like, well, but it's the way.
Okay, but again, you said that he didn't shake your hand.
Well, he amended.
Well, you lied. You just, why? Why would you lie about something
like that? Who
cares
about this stupid stuff? Like, honestly, this is dumb. This is like NBA drama. It's needless. Who cares? The Niners are good. The Browns, it's kind of fun now. See, I've done a 180 on Mayfield. Now I love to watch them suck. I'm pulling for him.
Yeah.
I still think he's going to be pretty good, but it is a blast to watch them take it in the shorts because he kind of deserves it. Like he's talked a lot of crap, man.
They put themselves up on a pedestal doing anything. And there's nothing that the NFL loves more than humbling people that get too big for their britches.
He had two fantasy points and I'm not even sure how he did that.
He got pulled, although
8 of 22, 100 yards, 2 picks.
Freddie Kitchens pulled him because he said he didn't want him to get hit anymore, which was it was glorious. And I don't know about you, but even though that game wasn't competitive, I mean, it ended up being 31-3. And it wasn't even that close. And maybe I'm screwed up. I love watching teams when they go hunting like that. When you get a defensive line that can't be blocked and a quarterback and an offense are under siege.
Happens a lot.
I don't know. I think that is an enjoyable watch. I don't know if it's like a hate watch, but just watching a front just overwhelm someone. I don't know. Like,
well, Baker's going to have that a lot this year.
Yeah. I find that like when Oregon was playing Cal, there was a little bit of that where you just, like, they just lived in their backfield and you just kind of smile and chuckle and you're like, poor bastards. I don't know. It's ugly football, but I find it enjoyable to watch.
All right. Well, we got to know baseball things.
No, we didn't.
Next segment, baseball things. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I'm so excited today. I forgot the AAA heating and cooling poll question.
There is a lot going on. We'll very get exciting. To about 40% of what we could today.
1080thefan.com. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. AAA heating and cooling. And again, their website, AAAIAQ.com. Yesterday, we asked you, how worried are you about Oregon's ability to win the Pac-12? 39% said not worried. 31% said mildly worried, 19% very worried, and 12% voted Will Darkins. Today at 1080thefan.com, if they played now, how many points would Oregon State score against Oregon? So we ask you the hard-hitting questions here.
That's actually not a bad question.
40 plus, 30 to 39, 20 to 29, 10 to 19. Come on, Will Darkins played at Oregon State, LOL. Vote 1080thefan.com.
Oregon State's defense is really good, Oregon's defense is really good. I do want to see, because Colorado is a better offense, they're going to play better talent. Washington State's giving them problems. Utah's offense looks to be improved. Arizona is scoring some points. I got to believe that eventually, you know, you're not going to be giving up 9.5 points per game.
Well, they'll get to collide.
Yeah.
It's down the road, but they will meet.
But that looks right now to be one of, if not the best defense in the Pac-12. And I think that's a top three offense right now in the Pac-12 with Oregon State.
One more thing on the Richard Sherman deal. And I just looked at the video. I think what he's saying on the handshake thing, which is so dumb, who cares? He's moved on. He's already said it. But Mayfield shook his hand when they first lined up at midfield. I think what Sherman is saying is they usually do it again after the coin toss and everybody separates to go
beat
each other's head in.
He turned and ran off.
Yeah. So they're, I don't know. It's semantics. They're kind of both right. But anyway, Sherman, I wonder if, because you're a Niner fan. I'm not saying you, just if you are a Niner fan. Don't you hate a little bit of Richard Sherman now being your guy? Like there's such a history with him and he rarely shuts his mouth and he's just easy to hate when you're across the ball from him.
Yeah, but now you kind of got to look the other way.
And now he's doing his shtick again. And I mean, that would suck. Yeah. I would hate that.
Well, I'm trying to think of who.
Because you probably hated him when he was on the Seahawks.
Well, yeah, it's like the Blazer fan. That's like, I would never root for Kobe. Yeah, you would. If he got traded to Portland, you would have rooted for him. You may not have liked it,
so now
but
you
would have rooted for him.
Do you like Richard Sherman's jawing now? Because it's like, oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah, shows a little moxie. Shows the attitude of the defense. This is great. But then when he was with Seattle, it was like, God, shut up.
I do find Richard to be a bit, he's a bit much.
He's
for
a lot.
Me.
All right. Mike, congratulations on the New York Yankees advancing past the AAA team and into the ALCS.
Triple A team. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Not sure they're a Triple A team, but I appreciate it.
I've heard that the Twins are going to play Triple A next year.
That wasn't even competitive. And I also saw that Chapman hurt his hand in the celebration. He got hit with a bottle.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No. Throwing hand, too.
Hey, did they say on the broadcast that Gleyber Torres was with the Cubs and they traded him for a few months of Aroldis Chapman that year they went to the World Series and won?
Yes. He was the main piece
Torres
that got the Cubs.
Torres was the piece, huh?
He was their number one prospect, and they traded him to the Yankees for Chapman, and then the Yankees re-signed Chapman.
So the Yankees doing what they're doing now, a lot of it has to do with all those trades they pulled off? Or how much of it?
Really just Gleyber Torres, because the other trade they pulled off was Andrew Miller, which got them Justice Sheffield, I guess in some part, who got them James Paxton, as well as Clint Frazier, who has yet to really develop into anything big.
Okay.
But well, so they got Paxton and Torres out of those trades.
He was still hitting like 300, and they sent him down because there was no place for him to play.
Yeah, well, he also can't field. So
I hate you.
You know, the Twins, you watch the Twins, and look, no offense to the Yankees. Yankees are good.
Twins had a good lineup, though. Come on. You're about ready to take a big
old
steamy dump.
I mean,
the Twins.
Look, they played in the AL Central, which is the worst division by far. I think it's not really necessarily their lineup. It's their pitching. Their pitching is not that good. Dude, they ran out an Uber driver, and Barrios is good. And then who'd they – well, they lost
Pineda. Odorizzi pitched well yesterday.
Odorizzi's okay. Pineda got popped. I think he got suspended, so he was out.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just – they've lost 16 straight playoff games.
I know. That is amazing. But
– I think the thing that was most surprising to me was watching the series, not one hitter in the Twins lineup scared me. And I knew I should be scared because of how well they hit.
Really?
But the way that they were playing, the way that they were attacking the Yankees pitchers, not one hitter scared me.
Let me ask you this. When Max Kepler came up, weren't you rejoicing?
Basically.
Dude, he's horrible.
More Miguel Sano because he struck out every at bat on terrible pitches.
Sano's terrible. Gonzalez is terrible.
They had five guys that hit 30 home runs. The Twins. See, this is revisionist history. I get it.
They're not that good.
They got spanked by the Yankees.
I'm just saying,
watching the game, I know they did great in the regular season, right? Numbers are amazing.
Great regular season team.
Watching the games, I wasn't even scared of Nelson Cruz. I wasn't.
Well, it's because he was on an island. Polanco is good.
Yeah.
He should have scared you. He's tough. But
except he swings at everything.
I don't know, man. They just, that ties.
Oh, no, that's Rosario who swings at everything.
The Blackhawks, the Chicago Blackhawks of 1975 to 1979, the Twins have now tied them for the longest North American team sports postseason losing streak.
Yeah, it's the damnedest thing.
And that series wasn't even close.
No.
It was 23-7 in three games. They can't beat the Yankees. They cannot beat the Yankees.
No. It's funny because the Twins and the A's are kind of the two teams that you hold up in the American League and say, you know, they don't have huge payrolls and smaller market teams, but you know,
Tampa.
Tampa's actually having some success, but it's like they get there and yet neither team can do jack squat. I mean, the little engine that could was the Kansas City Royals.
Well, I would say that the A's and Rays are much better teams than the Twins. The Twins, you know, you get in the postseason and it's just a different animal and you can see the holes and teams will exploit your hole. They're good. They're no question a good team. Obviously, they deserve to be there. None of that is, you know, nobody's saying that. It's just that was a total mismatch. Yeah. And
the thing is, I thought the A's had a good enough pitching to actually make some noise in the postseason, and yet they only got one game and their ace got absolutely shelled.
Yeah, and they only got one game.
Yeah.
So if the A's get a three-game series,
maybe that's different.
Maybe it's different. They're much better. I just think they're better equipped than the Twins to make a run. The Twins, put it this way, that team, as good as they are, the Twins, against the Astros and the Yankees, dude, they aren't going anywhere.
No,
they are not pulling off
time,
any upset.
The Yankees and the Astros are, I mean, historically good. Those are scary good rosters.
That they are.
I mean, that's like saying if you don't beat the Dodgers, Yankees, and Astros to me are clearly better, although the Dodgers are playing for their life. But those three teams this year were head and shoulders better than everyone.
We're looking at, I think the Astros are the best team. They may be the best team I've ever seen. They are so stacked.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. They're just unbelievable. And the Yankees are really, really damn good. But all I'm saying is the A's and Rays, I think, would have a better shot at upsetting them in a 5 or 7 game series than the Twins. That Twins team is just holes everywhere. Anyway, they're out. F them. Idiots. Triple A next year. Suck. F you, Twins.
Didn't they win 100 games?
103. Yeah. Or no, 102.
First 100-plus win team to get swept in the playoffs.
But again, AL Central. But that doesn't mean much. Royals won the AL Central. They were a wild card team and got all the way to the World Series through that division. But
wasn't the division better when they got through it?
Yeah, I think it was better than it was this year, for sure.
Well, I saw a thing with they were saying, someone on Twitter had this, where they said, it probably won't happen, but in theory, the Astros would have the Cy Young Award winner, the MVP, the Rookie of the Year, and went and got the biggest name at the trade deadline as well, all in the
same
year.
Yeah, they're just stacked. If they don't win it, that's a disappointment. Like, that's how good they are.
Yeah.
And the Yankees will be some friction for them, but they should beat every team in the tournament. I mean, they're just that good. But who knows? You never know. Indians also made it to the World Series and got within a game of winning it from the AL Central too. So
yeah, sliver.
Maybe that's not an excuse, but that Twins team,
sliver of the Cubs. And they were up, weren't they up 3-2 in that?
The Indians.
Weren't they up 3-2 in that series? And the Cubs came back and got it in 7?
I don't remember. I know they got it in 7. And then how about Yadi Molina's bat throw?
Boy, that's not just a bat throw.
What do you think about that?
That's, that's the bat flip to end all bat flips, followed by two throat slashes as well.
Boy, I tell you, can I say something about him that I hate to say?
Sure.
Is he on meth?
Wow.
What? Look at him.
No, he's got a bit of a weight problem. I don't think you can have a weight problem and be on meth.
He's got like neck tattoos. He looks all, man, that dude, he does not look like a major league catcher. He looks like he should be in prison.
He's got like that blonde kind of whatever you call that thing. I guess it's a Mohawk-esque.
He just looks like he has drug issues.
I think he's fantastic.
Well, everybody does. Like, there's nobody that doesn't think he's fantastic. And maybe that's part of it is that it looks like meth head bat toss, you know, but it's not. It's like he's greatness.
Yeah.
And everybody in St. Louis loves him. But boy, is he a weird looking SOB. He just doesn't look the part. But he is so good.
I don't know if I've ever seen the bat shot put, though. Like, that's not a bad flip. I mean, he's just, like, he was aiming for the third row with that
Are they
thing.
Calling that a flip? That was a bat throw.
It was a throw.
He literally threw the bat.
I mean, yeah, they're calling it a bat flip. But he stood there for a while, watched it, and then hucked the bat, and then gave the two throat slashes.
You know what's interesting about him is there are people that think he's a Hall of Famer. You know? I mean, he doesn't have the stats.
Curt Schilling, just kind of based on the postseason
stuff. He's one of the best catchers of this generation.
It's the Ozzie Smith thing. Like, he's just he is greatness behind the plate.
Yeah.
And that doesn't show up necessarily in the stats. I mean, it does in his, I think he's thrown out like 45% of runners.
And he's big in the postseason.
He's huge.
Clutch.
Yeah, one rings and just a leader. Everybody loves him. But how do you quantify that for the Hall, you know?
I don't know. Well, the numbers certainly won't be there when you're talking about like modern catchers, if you're talking about like the Mike Piazzas of the world.
Well, I think that's the whole point. Of course the numbers aren't there. It's that nobody would even think of him as a Hall of Famer, but if you really look at his career, he plays like one.
Yeah.
And he means that much. It's just he doesn't have he's like the first guy to come along. Maybe not the first. Ozzie Smith was like this. I mean, Ozzie Smith hit like one home run.
Yeah, the numbers. You know, the numbers
he didn't have all the numbers, but everybody knew how good he was defensively, and he got in.
But remember, shortstops weren't viewed the same way.
Right.
Like that back when we were growing up, you could hit 190 and be a shortstop and be fine. You're a great glove. Now, I mean, shoot, if you don't hit 30 as a shortstop and have range, then you know we throw you out. So it's a that's a different sort of mentality. But there's not many, if you're talking back over the last 10 years, how many catchers would you rather have than Yadi? I mean, you got Buster Posey.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Probably Mike Zunino.
Well, and that goes without saying, right?
Hello.
Talking about the greatness of.
But yeah, not many. Okay, so there's a rumor that the A's to Vegas? And it comes from Manfred?
Yeah.
What is this? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up next in the Jamboree, we'll talk some college football. They have found the crocheting Kansas fan. You'll hear her hot football takes. Also, the Texas-Oklahoma game, I guess it's a penalty, or at least they want it to be a penalty when you do the horns down thing.
Really?
Which I find quite interesting, and we'll talk about that. But wrapping up our hardball discussion here, the A's to Vegas.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Boy, it sure did. But there's a reason for it.
Hi-ya!
And it's this. In a meeting last week, it has been confirmed that Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred threatened the A's with a move to Las Vegas and not Portland or not Nashville or not Montreal, Vegas. Well, apparently he wants the city of Oakland to drop its lawsuit against the county in their battle over the property where the Coliseum sits. So basically he wants to pave the way for the county to sell their part of the land to the A's so that they can get on with their stadium deal. So he's just, you know, he's doing his thing to move the needle.
Bless you.
Thank you. But why Vegas comes in is, I'm sure, don't know this, but I'm sure it's because he is using Vegas because of the whole Raiders situation, right? Like it's
you really
like
want to lose two teams?
Exactly. I think a lot of Portland people are like, well, wait a minute. Well, how did they jump Portland? And it's not necessarily that they jumped Portland. It's that in that particular instance, since a team from Oakland has already decided to move to Las Vegas, he probably thought it best to really to try to get the needle moving the most to threaten Vegas. That's the kind of, optimistic way to look at it up here.
Well, the other one would be that the A's just find the Vegas market to be more attractive. So there could
or that
be...
Major League Baseball finds it to be more attractive.
Yeah,
because, I mean, Major League Baseball is supposedly increasingly interested in Vegas for obvious reasons. One would be the gambling, the legalized gambling angle, and then partnerships with big money casinos. There's a lot of stuff Portland can't, you can't stack up with the dollars of Vegas. There's sure. this big money down there.
That's why the NFL's going there.
But and the NHL went there.
Mm-hmm.
And
wouldn't
so
that, wouldn't that be something in a matter of just a handful of years?
It's crazy.
Going from zero pro sports teams and just the stigma of you can't put a team. They didn't want to do an all-star game there. And now all of a sudden you're maybe on the precipice of having three major league franchises.
It's nuts.
Just in a matter of a couple of years.
And it could happen. I mean, the other aspect of this that's been bandied about is, and this hurts Portland, is that Major League Baseball may be looking for sweetheart real estate deals to go along with any new ballparks.
Yeah.
In other words, in this instance, Vegas could potentially offer a far better deal in that regard than Portland in terms of, hey, we'll build a ballpark. And this is what Mike Barrett and those guys are always talking here about, building up the infrastructure around the ballpark. And baseball is decided, and rightly so, that they can't just start to, they can't just say, well, okay, some other city is going to build you a ballpark and threaten that. Now what they're threatening is, not only is some other city going to build you a ballpark, but we're going to get a big cut of the real estate around that ballpark now. It's like they're gobbling up even more to say to stay sustainable, because it's not just the ballparks. It's got to be the infrastructure around the ballpark and those revenue streams that and how baseball wants to move into the future. And Vegas just has a lot more to offer in that regard than Portland does.
Well, remember too, and that a lot of these stadiums now, they're becoming less and less publicly funded. And so again, you got to make that up because owners in Major League Baseball aren't real keen on spending $500 million to build their own stadium. How do you recoup some of that money? Like what you said, the development around it. And by the way, this, even if this does happen, it doesn't mean the end of baseball to Portland, because this would still put you on track for expansion, right? The hope has been all along that you get the Rays or you get the A's. Sounds like the Rays, if they were to move anywhere, would go to Montreal. Should kind of take them off the table. If the A's really are going to move, and then let's put that Vegas. Remember, Major League Baseball said that they didn't want to expand until they got those two stadium situations figured out. So while that is a bit of a bummer, if you lost out on the Rays and the A's, it would still put you in position to say, we need an expansion team, one in the East, one in the West. There's not another city in the West that would make sense other than Portland. So this is not a death blow, even if the Rays, or excuse me, if the A's were to move to Vegas. That's not the end of baseball to Portland.
No, but I tell you what, if you don't think the A's and Rays are moving, you better hope they move now. Because if you've got cities that are leapfrogging you,
yeah,
you need more spots. You need the A's and Rays to move so that those cities are off the table when expansion does roll around.
Yes.
So, and that's, I don't know, I don't think the A's are going anywhere. The Rays could go to Montreal, in which case then it would be maybe Nashville for expansion, but then the West would be a fight between Vegas and Portland. And I think if you do get into that fight, I think you're going to lose.
Well, and then so maybe it is actually better. Maybe
you want them both to move.
Maybe you ultimately want the A's to move to Vegas because it takes a city on the West out, because there's
right.
not many major markets out here. And if Major League Baseball does indeed want a team on the West, Western half of the United States.
Yep.
I would much rather have it be between Oakland getting a team back in Portland than having, like you said, go head to head with Portland and Vegas.
Just kind of frustrating. You know, Portland got out there early, got things moving, and now it just feels like everybody's passing them by.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and that was the
Vegas, Nashville, Montreal.
Did you get expoed again? I heard a couple of those tweets coming in like, what? Got expoed again?
Well, but again, he's only threatening Vegas with Oakland because of the Raiders thing.
Yeah.
So we don't really know where it stands. It's we've just been through this song and dance before, so it's hard not to let your mind go there.
I do think the official quote said Las Vegas or elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he does. But you're right. Vegas
but he wasn't
is,
quoted. It was a meeting.
Right, but the quote from the mayor, what she said, Manfred said, was Las Vegas or elsewhere, but Las Vegas was the city because of what you're talking about.
But he hasn't really said anything publicly or privately, at least it's gotten out.
No.
About any, I mean, he's been really close to the vest about any city. Well, here he goes. We find out floating Vegas before anyone else. It's like, it's just not good, man.
No. You don't want someone else mentioned before you. But again, I'd make the argument that doesn't end. Even if they move to Vegas, that doesn't end Major League Baseball to Portland. In fact, in the long run, that may end up being a good thing for you if they end up in Las Vegas. By the way, people are asking, are you okay over there?
Yeah, why?
Is there a buffalo in the studio giving hot sports takes? Yeah,
you just blew your nose with the mic on. So yeah. It was very loud.
The mic was on?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that.
Did you try to hit the
I thought I turned it off.
No, that one came in.
It was like.
That one came in like loud an and clear.
Why didn't you say something?
Well, because then you turned your mic off for the second one.
Yeah.
You looked down, saw it was on, and turned it off.
Yeah, the first one, you about blew out an eardrum there. Yeah, that was large and in charge, my man. So a lot of people just asking.
Sorry about that.
Are you okay?
Yeah, just blew my nose.
Does Rob have space herpes? Not that we know of.
I'm going to go find it so you can hear it.
Yeah, please do. I'd like to hear that. Space herpes?
Yeah, do you guys have an elephant loose in the studio? No, we're okay. It's a case of the sniffles.
By the way, this texter is correct. Babe Ruth, 33 postseason RBI in his career.
Yeah.
Yadier Molina, 33 postseason RBI in his career.
Dude, the more you look into it, the more that guy, I don't know, first ballot, but Yadi's in the Hall of Fame. Like the more you kind of dig around into the numbers, you look at some of the contemporaries, that guy is a surefire Hall of Famer. It's a matter of whether he gets in on the first ballot.
All right, let's jamboree college football next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.